Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Hello and welcome to a special Wednesday edition of the Weekly Conversation, folks. I'm your host, the man with the mic. Tonight on the conversation, hard to believe, I never thought I'd see a day when North Korea would be more willing to work with Trump than Republicans or Democrats. But that day has come. Nancy Pelosi and Congresswoman Barbara Lee have invited the Golden State Warriors to Capitol Hill after Donald Trump said the NBA champs should not be invited to the White House. I'm going to get into that because there's all kinds of stuff that they're saying about that. I'll get into that. Robert De Niro going off and F Trump and all this stuff and this tyrant. Well, you know, it was un-American and unpatriotic to criticize Obama, but I guess it's okay to go off on Trump, you know. Liberal standard, the double one. There was actually enough votes in California to put an amendment on the ballot to divide California into a north and south and a west. The three separate states. I'll get into that. And 2026 starts the World Cup. And who is hosting it? I'll get into that. The World Cup, I can't wait, it starts tomorrow. And also in New York, there's as many as 440 immigrants that are criminals that New York wasn't going to hold on to, but I said hold on to them so they can be deported, and 91 of those have been found to be big criminals, and there have been MS-13 members. Not many people know what a Navajo code talker is. Samuel Tom Holliday was one of the last surviving members of the Navajo code talkers. He was 94 years old. I want to get into that and what he did. And my thoughts on some devastating news in Manchester United on the team and things going forward and all that good jazz. So, welcome to a conversation that I hope you feel a part of, folks. And it is a Wednesday conversation. As some of you know, some of you may not know, I have there was a restaurant in town. I worked as a chef for a long time, and there was a restaurant in town in the Acropolis, and the guy that ran it was a refugee from Cyprus in Greece. And he came here and made some heat. He did what Kennedy said. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And he gave back, and he started a restaurant. And I can't eat Greek food without comparing it to his and what him and his wife Marie did. And he was given 2 months to live with cancer, and turned out that he lasted 2 weeks. And Z-Man, his son, was there, and I went to the viewing last night. That's why there was no conversation. And then tomorrow morning, I'm getting a post put in and stuff for a tooth. And it's going to be suck because it's going to be painful and it's going to hurt. And so, but moving on, folks. That's why we have a Wednesday edition of the conversation this week. Next week, I'll let you know, because I know I'm probably not going to be in the mood to talk for a while, or eat much. But I never thought I would see a day where North Korea would be more willing to work with us than Trump and Democrats. You know, North Korea working with Trump, they'd be, you know, I never thought Republicans and Democrats would actually be less likely to work with Trump than North Korea. But, and there's a lot going on with this, because there's like, well, are you going to removed the troops from South Korea now and all this stuff and da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, that was never on the table. We're taking it one step at a time. You say you're going to do this? Show faith. Do this. And, you know, I mean, there's some people that say it's almost goes back to the Korean thing. You know, I mean, the Cuba thing, like where, you know, when everyone's like, oh, take down the wall, let's smoke Cuban cigars. And I'm like, well, wait a minute here. There's not a lot of consent. You know, like, what are we doing about, like, the humanitarian side of it? You know, is it going to change in their country at all? And anything like that? So, who knows? Just remember this, Colossians 3:13. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgiveness. Anyone who offends you, remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. You know, and that's, we all got to come together in this, and we're in a step in the right direction. You know, we got 1,000-mile journey. We've walked 10 miles. We got a long way to go, but we're going in the right direction. And I don't think liberals can handle the fact that he's doing good things. And they don't know how to, they can't say, I mean, that's what I hate. How hard is it to say, hey, I was wrong. Trump is doing something good. Because I would have done that if Obama was doing something good. I was wrong. Look at what he's doing. He's doing something great, but I couldn't do that 99%. And like I've said before, if you're a follower of the program, you look at North Korea. Those people are so indoctrinated that it's sort of like the FLDS, you know, the fundamentalist Latter-day Saints, where even like when they get out, all they know is that. They've been bred that. They've been taught that. That's all they know. And some of them want to go back, not because that's all they know, you know. They don't know any other life than that cult life. They don't know any better. All they know is John Daniel Kingston's like Jesus Christ. All they know. And what you deal with here, same thing with North Korea. You have at least in the supporters part of the country, you have those people that go to a house. They have no photos except for the dear leader. Well, which one's your favorite? They're all my favorite. Every one of them. They don't, you know, you could do something for them. Thank you, dear leader, for allowing this to be, you know, they wouldn't thank me. They wouldn't thank my wife. They wouldn't thank a surgeon. They thank the dear leader who had nothing to do with it, per se. But, I mean, until they're free and can go about, I mean, we're going in the right direction. I just hope that there's real progress, that they're really denuclearizing, that they're really doing this. Trump has gone farther than anyone else has, so.
Here's the thing. If North Korea says we're going to do this, we have to give them a shot. It's a man who's pregnant. Trust this, but verify. Mm-hmm. That's what we have to do.
And that's what Trump is doing. When people say, well, there's like 32,000 troops in South Korea. Are you getting rid of them? No. At some point, we hope to tone it way down, but right now, no. No, that's not how this cookie crumbles. And as you, if not many people know this, but, you know, no matter who won, Steph Curry or LeBron James both basically said that they would not accept an invite to the White House, like the teams wouldn't. And so Nancy Pelosi and Congresswoman Barbara Lee have invited the Golden State Warriors to Capitol Hill. And there's a lot of people saying, how way to go, Trump. He's not going to let them at the White House. You know, what kind of president is he? I'm like, well, they were the ones that came out that said we wouldn't accept an invite anyway. If you know anything, they came out and said, oh, we wouldn't take an invite. And, well, I'll put it like this. There were like three or four, I think it was, two, three, or four of the Bears players that said, oh, we couldn't go see the White House when we won the Super Bowl because of the Challenger explosion. And I would have died to have gone to the White House to see Ronald Reagan. He was a real president. I don't want to go now. I don't want to see Obama. I wanted to see Reagan, but that never happened. You know, this baby BS of, I'm not going to go see the American Union. Trump's a Nazi. He's a racist. He's a sexist. Why can't you just admit that you're wrong and he's doing something great? That we're going in the right direction? Because people, oh yeah, Trump's doing so great. Well, how better off are you? I'm like, and I told someone exactly, I told you, I said, well, this is what's going on. We got a 100-mile trek. We got a 1,000-mile trek. We've gone 10 miles of a 1,000-mile journey. We're going in the right direction, yes, but we got a ways to go. See, the difference is Trump's going in north where John McCain, Mitt Romney, George Bush, Barack Obama, they were all going south. So Clinton, he's going in the opposite direction, you know. Like I've said many times before, it's a 100-meter dash. It doesn't matter who you pick in the last several elections, you'd have gone in the same direction. I use this analogy, America's a 747, and you're on autopilot headed straight into the Sears Tower. You got John McCain, you got Mitt Romney, Hillary Clinton, or Barack Obama. Who's going to kick it out of autopilot and steer us clear of the Sears Tower so we don't slam into it and all die? None of them. They're all going to do it. It just depends. You want to go into the Sears Tower really slow or really fast. You know, we finally got a president that's going in the right direction, and he's got a ways to go. And the liberals can at least say, hey, I was wrong. He's doing something right. You know? I don't really see many. Well, I mean, you got Dennis Rodman, like, praising him, like, almost in tears, like, hey, he's doing something. But for the most part, you don't have that. You have all these people that are beside themselves. And they're beside themselves because Trump's doing something and they can't deal with it. The problem you have in this country, it goes back to the elections when you had all these people that, like, Trump, he'll never win the election. Ann Coulter, who do you think is going to win and the Republican nomination for president, Donald J. Trump? Everyone laughs at her. But then when you see on election night, the Young Turks have a meltdown. You have Rachel Maddow has a meltdown because they were told Hillary Clinton's won guaranteed. I'd put $1 million on it. Trump is going to get, he might win. Well, he won't win his home state, so he ain't going to win any state. Hillary Clinton's going to get every state. Kentucky, Trump. Indiana, Trump. Florida, Trump. Wisconsin, Trump. Pennsylvania, Trump. Michigan, Trump.
West Virginia.
Trump. And they're like, what? What? No, I was told it was a 99% chance Hillary was going to win. What do you mean? What do you mean now it's down to 50% chance? What do you mean it's down to 30%? And they're pulling their hair out. They're still in freaking denial. Why can't you just say, hey, we've got a long way to go, but he's going in the right direction. He's doing something right. Is it that hard? Obviously it is, because it was, what was that? Yeah, it was unpatriotic to question Obama. But when it comes to Trump, oh, you can tell him whatever, you can say whatever the heck you want to say. Don't worry, man. Don't worry. F that guy, F this guy. You know, it's patriotic to hold beheaded Trump. But yeah, it's I mean, if I was on an NBA team and I got invited to the White House when Obama was there, I'd say, well, can I go to the White House? I don't want to see Obama. I just want to go to the White House. I don't want to meet Obama. Who cares? I just want to go to the White House. But then I'd want to sneak up and go into his living quarters and do all kinds. I'd get in so much mischief. Now, where's these secret walls and the doors and stuff? I want to, like the trap doors and stuff, the secret. I'd be just looking for those. I'd be pounding on the walls. You know, I'd have more fun trying to find out where all the secret doors are and trap doors in the White House are. Than I wouldn't care less. Imagine the field day liberals would have if Donald Trump let celebrities stay at the White House. You know, like you pay some money and you can stay at the White House like Bill Clinton did. Because liberals had no problem when Bill Clinton was basically turning the White House into a Airbnb. They didn't have a problem with that. But if Trump was to do that, oh, Lord, they'd be up in arms. How dare he do that? He has to be impeached immediately for turning the White House into an Airbnb. How dare he? Out there, he wasn't it Snoop Dogg who admitted to smoking weed in the White House on the roof? That double standard again, you know. That's the thing. People don't care. That's what I try to do in the show. No matter where you are in the circle, right, left, independent, middle, I don't care. You need to wake up and realize how screwed you're getting. You need to realize how screwed you are. That's what I try to wake up people to realize. Because like when I told this one guy I was talking to him one time, I said, well, you know, Nancy Pelosi has $100 million net worth, and how can she have any right to talk about income inequality with $100 million net worth? How can she have any right to talk about having no wall at the border when she has a wall around her house? Well, look at what, and then of course they talk about these Republicans. Well, look about this and this and this. I'm like, well, does it make it right? That's why a lot of times when I talk about things, I'll give a Republican example, a Democratic example, because they're all politicians. They all have net worths that if we had them, we'd be investigated by the IRS for the amount of money we make and how much money we have. Oh, how dare you want to deport these illegals? Just wait until you have your name and Social Security number used by some illegal. Wait till you try to file taxes. And, well, they can file our taxes. They can pay them. We voted the last, 2 years. If anyone wants this, I'll give them my Social Security number. Everything. You can file taxes under my name. You can sit there and pay them. Maybe I should just falsify my taxes. And then when we get a huge refund, if we get in trouble, saying, hey, I didn't file them, man. Someone must have stole my identity. It's worth a shot. No, I'm going to make sure you do it. Hey, do they have conjugal visits in prison? Because don't get any here. I'm just kidding. But anyways.
Just kidding.
No, I know it's not funny. But moving on, folks. That's the problem. People don't care. People don't. What's it going to take to wake up people to realize that yeah, there are some, quote, okay illegals. But show me an illegal that is coming here with no, show me a border jumper that's busting their butt, that's working their butt off, that's not relying on any free handouts, that's not using a social security number or a fake name. So, show me a legal illegal. There you go. Show me a legal illegal. Kind of a contradiction in terms. But that's the problem we deal with, folks. That's what you got to wake up and realize. I mean, it's just like the hypocrisy with cannabis. You know, it's like I said before, I remember when I was in high school, well, one joint equivalates, like, I forget how many unfiltered cigarettes. It's a carton of unfiltered cigarettes for every joint you had. And okay, yeah, well, wait a minute, because how do you know that? Because every time I hear you talk about it, there's not enough studies about, you don't know if it has any medical value because there's no studies done on it. If there's not enough studies done on it to prove its medical value or anything, how do you know it's dangerous? That's what I hate when people that have never used something say it's bad, it's deadly. That's so dangerous. Well, when was the last time you smoked? I wouldn't go near that stuff. Oh, wow, so you're judging something you've never used. That makes a lot of sense. Sort of like my wife and eating mushrooms. She doesn't know what she's missing.
Just kidding.
Well, all jokes aside, that's how it is. I know so many people that will never support cannabis, but they've never used it. They don't know anything about it. And if you were to give it to my wife to cure cancer, they would say, oh, no, that wasn't a cannabis. That was something else. It couldn't have possibly. That's dangerous. That's deadly. And that's the problem in this world. We have these people that don't get it. That just, you know, there's patents on CBD and cannabis. But then again, you know, I mean, why would a pharmaceutical company want you to eliminate medications? You know, if you can take one plant that would eliminate five medications, why wouldn't you want to do that? It's sad. It's sad. But that's the world we live in. You know, I'm a huge cannabis supporter. And how can that be? I'm a conservative. Do your research. Do your homework. That's what a lot of kids don't get and don't do. That's what's wrong with this world that we live in today. They don't know anything. Well, if you're going to have a party, aren't you going to vet the people? Yeah, I'm going to make sure that the people coming into my house are cool and safe and they're not going to be destroying or damaging. Okay. So, don't you think we should do the same thing in America? Yeah. And you're at a rally against vetting, but you're just telling me now that you're for vetting. That's the problem this within this world. There's so much hypocrisy. So much hypocrisy. Now, I don't know, as I move on, how much but like with California, they want to divide into three separate states, basically. And there's an oak, and it's, they've got signatures to put it on the ballot. to get this passed. But it's not that simple, because they would have to change. They would have to rewrite the whole state's constitution. I don't see that happening in California. Yeah, they've got like 600,000. They got all these signatures to put it on the ballot. And there's a lot of people that actually support it because, hey, I'm very, very conservative. And in my sector, we're a very, very conservative part of the state. But as a whole, we don't get represented correctly, because part of the state is, most of the state is very, very liberal. And that's the problem. You know, and do they have a point? That, okay, hey, a lot of California is very, 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 very progressive, but hey, we're not progressive. We don't want high taxes. We don't want all this bull crap. We don't want this progressive, liberal stuff. We want to have our own part of California so our voice can be heard as a conservative state. But since you take a place like California, I don't think it could ever happen, because you would have to ratify the state constitution. You would have to do all kinds of stuff in order to make this happen. And I don't see though it can be put on the ballot and all this stuff. Even if they voted for it, I don't know how they would ratify the Constitution and do all this stuff. So, I don't know. I want to thank you so much for tuning in wherever you are around the world. You know, I mean, and this, because people, a lot of people take this California thing, and it's not a cut and dry thing, because, I mean, even if they get on the ballot, even if they do this legally, I don't know how they would rewrite the Constitution in their state and all this stuff, and so I don't see it happening. I don't know. Well, it's better than a lot of people that want them to be their own nation. You know, it's a lot better than that, you know, but at the same time, I don't see, there's too many legal issues that I don't know if it would ever get to the point where it could actually move on and be a legitimate ballot, even if they, I don't even know if they would have to get it worked out first to, okay, how would we, if it went to a vote on the ballot, could they get, if they get it passed, where they have to have it set up to, this is how we would do a referendum to the Constitution of California to make it happen. I don't know. It's just this world we live in, you know, where I guess I never thought I'd see a day where people want to have on a driver's license, well, that, you know, that people that don't associate as a man or a woman, I'm a dog, or I never thought I'd see that day, but hey, it's a new world. I wonder what, like, the, like, you know how you say Mr. and Mrs., what the prefix is for someone that believes they're neither. Yoon? I'm Yoon Kyle. I don't know. I mean, maybe is there a prefix for someone that doesn't believe they're a human at all? I don't know. It just makes me wonder. I'm going to get into this because this is something that everyone needs to know. We got to know our history. I want to get in this really quick before I get into this. I can't believe that the International House of Pancakes is now the International House of Burgers. I guess they're going to have a whole bunch of burgers. A burger line they're going to go off of. Is their breakfast not that good anymore and they're trying to push something else? Because if you've ever seen Bob's Burgers, now it has Bob's Pancakes instead of burgers. Because of opposite of IHOP, and I don't know. It's always being a restaurant tour guy. I go there, but if I could eat them, I'd go there for the pancakes, not for the burgers. But I don't go there that much anymore, considering I found out that they put pancake batter in their eggs. Like waffle butter and stuff, and like for their omelets. I don't know. This is another one for us. As Illinois judge blocks assault weapons ban hours before it goes into effect. Because they were going to try to ban in Chicago assault weapons in Illinois and all this stuff, and a judge put a halt to that really fast. Nice to see that we still got some judges that understand that we still have freedom in this country. Because a lot of them don't feel that way anymore. A lot of them don't feel that way anymore. So. But like when you have, but I think when you have people like Robert De Niro and others that are doing what they're doing and saying what they're saying, they don't know how to handle the fact that this guy that everyone mocked is now doing something great. And, you know, we have a judge in Chicago saying, hey, I'm going to put a block on this ban. Stuff is finally going the way of the people. So, it's good in that respect. It's good in that respect. I will say that. You know. I want to get into this because this is very, very, not many people know who these people were. When we were doing like World War I and stuff, no matter what we tried, no matter what we did, the enemies were able to figure out what we were saying, what we were writing and everything. And they found out after a while that these Navajo Indians, that their language was not able to be decoded, figured out. And Samuel Thomas Holliday dies at 94, and he was the last of the Navajo code talkers. Samuel Tom Holliday is one of the last surviving Navajo code talkers who died at the age of 94 on Monday in Utah. Holliday used his native language to create an uncrackable code to help win World War II. Spent his later days living in southern Utah veterans home in Ivins. His granddaughter pulled the spectrum. And these people, they were able to develop a code that was unbreakable, that they couldn't crack, that they couldn't figure out what it was, so they could relay prudent information without the enemies figuring out what we were doing. Holliday went into Marine Corps boot camp at age 19 in 1943 and joined a group of Native Americans who used their native language to develop a communication code for the U.S. military in World War II that proved to be uncrackable. What a guy, what a guy. And that's part of our history. And we need to know about our history. We need to know about it. It's something that's there. We need to know and make sure it's not lost. Because that's a big thing. No, everyone tries to destroy the history and try to destroy history. And says, no, we need to come together and good, bad, or indifferent, our history is something that makes us who we are. And it's something that we, you know, they were a huge part of it. Your history is not always going to be rosy. And that's what I hate when I see all these Confederate monuments being taken down, because it's like, that's part of our heritage, it's part of our history, whether you disagree with it or whatever. Just, it's part of who we are. The future generations won't know, and they're bound to repeat what happened. It's one of those things, folks. One of those things we think about as conservatives. Knowing our history. What do we got here? Got about 22 minutes left in the program, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And, you know your history, no matter what happened, no matter what goes on. Know your history, folks. If you haven't heard by now, a U.S.-led coalition wins the bid to host the 2026 World Cups. So the U.S. with Mexico and Canada to host the World Cups. It's going to be interesting to see how the games are going to be held. The U.S. is going to host 60 of the 80 matches, leaving Canada and Mexico with 10 fixtures each. And we kind of need to see how this works out and what happens. North America won the 134-65 bid, with Russia notably backing America and North Korea backing Morocco. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out and where they host the matches and where they're going to be and going to be kind of neat to see how that all turns out, because I thought we would be I didn't think it was going to be that big of a chance for Morocco, but I think it's one of those things that as the World Cup comes up, it brings us all together as nations, you know, because when you think France is going to be good and then they bomb, and then you think, you know, this country is going to be good and it's not. And so it's like that one time every 4 years where the world can come together and try to put all our differences behind us and just watch some football. So moving on, folks, I want to get into this because this is just a sad but heartwarming story. There's a photo that's gone viral of the 6-year-old boy confronting his sister dying of rare brain cancer, and the photo has gone viral. The father of the 4-year-old girl diagnosed with a brain tumor posted a painful photo of his son's last goodbye to his sister. The father of the 4-year-old who bravely fought an improbable brain tumor posted the photo of his 6-year-old brother comforting the girl in the final moments in hospice. Addie Suter was born in Rogers, Arkansas, was diagnosed with a diffuse intrinsic potent glioma, a DIPG, in November 2016. Her parents had noticed that she was struggling to walk. I'm not a doctor. I couldn't. Yeah, this thing right here, this DIPG, yeah, she has that. Yep. It's a highly aggressive and difficult to treat brain tumor found at the base of the brain. Addie went through 33 rounds of radiation and traveled to Mexico in hopes that an experimental treatment could work, but the tumor continued to grow. I don't know how well cannabis would have worked on that, but, you know, the CBD could have done maybe something. We don't know. But Abby died on June 3rd, just hours after the photo was taken. The family later shared that they were donating Addie's tumor to research in hopes of helping other children. As a parent, I couldn't imagine what they're going through. I'm not a parent, but I couldn't imagine what they're going through. Wow. And hopefully they can find a cure, and, you know, and that's what that new investigational drug, the plan that Trump passed, would allow someone like this to use exhausted all options to try experimental treatments instead of having to go to Mexico. Because I've had friends where their moms went to Mexico to try to do something to help out and be there, and it's interesting, you know. It's interesting. Got about, I would say, folks, got about 15 minutes left in the program, and wow, it makes you wonder if there were any medications besides that one in Mexico that they tried that could have done anything. If they would have had the ability of Trump's plan to be able to try to do something and go somewhere, and, you know, I don't know. But with that, one of the big issues is you have a lot of people who, I mean, it comes back with that plan is, okay, once you have to exhaust every option. So until you exhaust every option, you don't really have the ability to go forward or backwards. You know, it's like, well, here's 50 things you have to try, and if they all don't work, then you can go somewhere else. As you know, so I don't know. But that's how the medicine field is. They want you to go through these 50 hoops before you can do this or do that. And, well, we're not going to pay for this medication because you haven't done this or it doesn't work for that, or even though it could help with this or help with that. So, it's just one of those things. I'm going to get into, right now, some Manchester United Premier League folks. As many of you have found out today, through his agent, Anthony Martial says he wants to go somewhere else and do something else. And I think he's not going to get playing time like he needs to develop. And so I don't want him to go. I don't think he's, it's like Luke Shaw. Mourinho said Luke Shaw was like one of the best players he had. Well, and what did he do? He picked Ashley Young the next game. You know, it's like there's rumor that Gabby De Gea might end up possibly going somewhere. And if we're not at title contention, I don't blame him. You know, if he wants to be a club that's at the top of their game, then they need to go. Then they need to do. They need to. I mean, nothing against. I mean, I want these players to stay, but at the same time, you know, I say if Mourinho, I guarantee if he doesn't win next year, we're gone. He's gone. And they'll get, you know, and I feel like in a lot of respects, yeah, I want to have a Gareth Bale. I want to have Ronaldo. But if he ain't got a team, you know, we need to have a team there. And it's kind of like saying, okay, yeah, you're going to put a garnish on the plate when the plate's not finished. What's that going to do? It's going to be a crappy plate without a garnish. You know, if we ain't got a team and people to work with a Ronaldo or work with the Bale, then they may be a high-profile signing, but if we ain't got the people to back them up, you know, there's talk that, you know, did Anthony Marsh, did like Alexis Sanchez do stuff to divide, and, you know, if he hadn't gotten Alexis Sanchez, would Anthony Martial be leaving? Would he not be going? I don't know. It's just one of those issues that I just don't. I mean, because, like, I don't. I mean, that's why I hate this transfer window, because it's so frustrating. Like, because there's talk that we might be looking into Milinkovic Savage and Verratti, and I just like. Get the Premier League season on the road so I can see who we have and not like, well, are we going to keep De Gea? Anthony Martial is gone. Who's going to appeal? Do we need to replace him? I mean, I think we definitely need a left-footed left back. I think we have a lot of players that don't really know where they are on the pitch. Where are they on the pitch? Where should they be playing? What should they be doing? So, I just don't know. And then with, like, the World Cup coming up and all that, and, you know, you're not going to get too many deals done once the World Cup starts because a lot of the major players are playing with their national teams, and U.S. isn't in it, so I've got ancestry in Poland, so I'm looking for them, and they play June 19th. They play Seagal on the 24th, they play Colombia, and on the 28th, they play Japan. And I think if they get out of the group stage, that'll be a good World Cup for Poland. I mean, they're ranked 7th, so not too bad. Tomorrow, it's Russia and Saudi Arabia. On the 15th, it's Egypt and Uruguay. It's Morocco and Iran, and Portugal and Spain, and France and Australia. Those are like the first several games. I think it's going to be a great. It's great because it brings the people together, and we can all watch. And how in the heck did you get a red card? It's just an exciting time. And so it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of this. And so, I'm just one of those people that it's like the one every 4 years. I always look at the World Cup like when I was in Paris for the Rugby World Cups. So like if you're in the States, you'll understand what I'm talking about. It's like when you have Texas A&M playing and Michigan State playing and like Purdue IU or Purdue Notre Dame. But it's like that, but it's like all over, and it's just so much excitement. It's just incredible. And then when you have teams that aren't like underdogs and they just dominate, and teams that are supposed to dominate that don't. It's just a great time. And, you know, gets us a little bit away from what we're doing, and, you know, from all the hoopla of the daily lives, and, you know, and all the junk going on in our world. And yeah, it's pretty cool. I want to thank you so much for tuning into the conversation, and I hope you feel a part of it, folks. And, you know, I'm just kind of, I lost the words right now because Anthony Marcellus, I can't believe I know where he's going, because, hey, he wants to go to a better, he wants to play. He wants to be guaranteed play time. And I can see De Gea leaving because, hey, he wants to be at a club that's contending for titles, and we're not doing that right now. It's been a while since we've had a title contending team that's contending for a title. So I can see that, folks. So that's kind of where we're at. You know, it's just kind of, that's what's on my mind right now. That and the fact that they got to put me out tomorrow, which I'm not looking forward to, because I hate when I don't have control over something. I don't know if anyone want to get into this really quick, because I don't know if anyone else deals with this, but I just have a fear of being put on. I'm just like, well, if I go to sleep, I go to sleep. I'm controlling that. My body's, I'm controlling it, I feel like, if I go to sleep. But if someone's, you know, putting gas on me and then putting an IV in me and putting me out, I hate having that feeling where I'm not in control. And that scares the heck out of me. And I probably won't sleep tonight, and probably sleep most of the day tomorrow trying to take pills and trying to, you know, to get rid of the pain. But there's something that, I don't know if anyone else deals with that out there, but don't worry, you're not alone. Yeah, I'm getting an implant put in and all this crap, so just not looking forward to someone putting me out. I just don't. Thank God I know the guy very well, so I've known him, so I trust him, but that's about as far as it goes. I mean, even if my mom was like a medical surgeon, I'd still be like, yeah, I know, you know what you're doing, Mom, but still, just the fact that you put me under, that just scares the living, the hootin' out of me, so you know, just one of the things that. But, yeah. I want to thank you so much for tuning in to the conversation. It's just kind of like one of those things that we deal with, you know, and we have to go through. And like, because my dad's one of those, and that's the thing. I've never seen my dad's nuts, but I'm sure they're huge. Because my dad's one of those, like, well, you know, heck, don't even. My dad probably have what I've had done with nothing. I mean, I know he had done what I'm having done, wasn't put out, and. Like, barely, like, I don't know how he does it. My dad's one of those people, like, just give me a piece of wood to bite on and pull the bullet out. So, that's my dad for you, though. You know, I'm the exact opposite. I'm like, I don't want to be put out. I need to be put out. I don't want to be put out, but at the same time, I couldn't imagine having what I'm having done, you know, with the post put and everything without being put out. But I guess some people say it's just because it's a heck of a lot easier because you won't move and all this stuff, and but I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the dentist, but anyway, that's one of my things. I don't really care for the dentist, but I don't know. Maybe I'm not the only one out there that deals with that, you know. I want to thank you so much for tuning into the program that I hope you feel a part of, folks. And just make something. Do something. Be something, you know. Ask what you can do. Ask if you can help out. You know, do something. Make something. You know, we live in a society where, you know, come together. Come together and be that. Be that true change. Be that person that says, I'm gonna be above what's going on. I'm gonna be above what's going on. I'm gonna be different. Right. You know, and that's where we live in, you know. The more we come together, the better off this world will be. People wanna divide us, but Don't let them. About 90 seconds left in the program, folks. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And it's going to be interesting to see how the World Cup ends up, how the transfer window ends up, and how this world goes moving forward. And remember, just want you to know I'm in this with you together, and we're and I'm pulling for you. Wow. I'm pulling for you, folks, because that's what we do as Americans. We come together. We don't divide. And that's what I hate about this country. People are trying to divide us, and we can't be like that. So that's all I have for tonight, folks. And remember, with the firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Until next Tuesday, good night, and God bless. Goodbye.